good morning. It's good to see you. We are going through the Bible. If you're visiting us today, you need to know that this is a 17-week process, and we're on about week 6 or 7, I'm not sure which. And so as a church, we're reading the Bible, and you might say, oh my word, how radical for a church to read the Bible. You might be relieved to hear that. But the fact is, we're reading the whole thing in 17 weeks. We're trying to go and take ourselves on a journey and look at the whole story from beginning to end. And shall I show you how we've been doing that? Some of you will be familiar with this picture already. We are going, as I say, on a journey. And we've been taking different stops on our journey. Those of you who commute, I'm sorry to bring this picture into your Sunday when you try to remember it just Monday to Friday, but it's helpful for us. And so we've been so far. This train has stopped at Creation 4, Core, Egypt, Exodus, Land, Law, and now today we are stopping, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, at Kings. So we're all going to get off the train and transport ourselves back into the Old Testament to find out how Israel started to have kings. So I'm going to read you a story. This is a story from 1 Samuel. Are you sitting comfortably? With God's help, Samuel led God's people. But when Samuel grew old, the people asked him for something that made him sad. Everybody else has a king, they said. Why can't we have a king too? Samuel told God about this, and God helped him to feel better.
It's not you they don't want,
God said.
It's me. I'm their true king, but sometimes they just can't see it. So tell the people they can have a king if they want, but tell them the truth. Tell them that it won't make their lives any easier.
So that's what Samuel did.
God says you can have a king,
he told the people.
But he wants you to know what that will mean. A king will turn your sons into soldiers, your daughters into housemaids, and your grain and your gold into gifts for his special friends. In other words, he will make you his slaves.
It didn't sound very nice, but the people still wanted a king. So Samuel found them one, a tall and handsome one called Saul. And Saul did well for a while. But then he stopped listening to Samuel, and he stopped obeying God. So God told Samuel to find another king.
Go to Bethlehem,
God said.
Find a man named Jesse. If the people must have a king, then it should be someone who loves me and trusts me and will follow me. That someone is one of Jesse's sons.
So Samuel went to Bethlehem. And when he laid his eyes on Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, Samuel was sure that Eliab was the one. God was sure too, sure that Samuel was wrong.
He may be tall,
God said,
but so was Saul. And remember how he turned out?
And then God said something very important.
You can only see what people look like on the outside, Samuel. But I can look inside them, deep down into their hearts. And it's what is on the inside of a person that matters most to me.
So Samuel moved on to see Jesse's other sons, while God looked into their hearts.
How about the second son?
Said Samuel.
No.
Said God.
Try again.
The third son?
Afraid not.
The fourth son?
No way.
The fifth son.
You must be joking.
Ah, the sixth son.
Not a chance.
The seventh son?
Asked Samuel.
He's the only one left.
You'll have to look harder,
said God.
Because he's not the one either.
I don't suppose you have any more sons?
Samuel asked. Well, there's the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's out in the field looking after the sheep.
Fetch him,
said Samuel.
Quick as you can.
And when the boy appeared, God whispered to Samuel.
That's the one. His heart is pure and true, and he longs to follow me."
So Samuel poured oil on the head of Jesse's youngest son as a sign that God wanted him to do something special and that one day he would be king. And the youngest son's name was David. So there is the story of how kings started to come into Israel. And you know what? We still have kings and queens today. And I wondered what it would be like to be king or queen. And I thought, well, I wonder if we just let Queen Elizabeth take the morning off this morning. She's a busy lady, isn't she? And I thought we would have our own king or queen here just for a little while. So is there anybody who likes dressing up a bit, who would like to be our king or queen for a little while? Who would like to? Oh, check grey hoodie over there at the side. Come on. Come on. Did you really want to? Did you? Lovely. Come and be our king. Here we are. Come and stand in the middle, Your Royal Highness. Now, what's your name?
Matty.
King Matty, we have. Let me introduce you to our new King Matty. Show some respect, please. Here we are. We just have a little coronation here. Here's King Matty. Now, have you got some experience in being a king, Matty? Have you done this sort of thing before? No. Oh. Oh, so we might need some help and advice about how to be a king or a queen. Do you know what? I think there's going to be loads of advice here. So anybody want to think, what are some of the good things about being a king or a queen? Anyone want to offer Matty some advice? What did you want to say? You want to be a queen? Well, you can be a queen as well, but so we'll let you borrow the crown afterwards, or you might even get your own crown. Anybody wants to say what is a good thing about being king or queen of England this morning for King Matty? What do we think is good? You can shout out if you're near the back. I heard, go on, say. Was there not someone there about to say something? Loads of money. Loads of money. Matty, you've got loads of money. What are you going to do with all your money? Not sure. Not sure. So we need to think. So that's the first thing we need to do. Sorry? Something sensible. Do something sensible with the money. Oh, perhaps we should have had you as king. Buy a Ferrari. Oh. Okay, okay. Anything else good about being king or queen? What do you get with being king or queen? Well, loads of what? Make the roads better. That's something he should do. Caitlin, what do you want to say?
You get to tell people off.
You get to tell people off. You get to tell people off. So that's power, isn't it? You've got real power. You can tell people off. Over here, have you got some advice for our new king?
You get slaves.
You get slaves. You get... Do you know... In this country, you don't, but actually King David did have slaves. So that is quite a wise observation. And again, that brings with it responsibility. Now, can anyone think of anything that might be quite hard about being king or queen? What does Matty, what's he going to need help with now that he's king of England for the morning?
Wearing a heavy crown,
yes. The Queen does say, doesn't she? She gets neck ache when she opens Parliament. Anyone else think of what's difficult? Some of the things we've mentioned could be difficult. Right, I'm going to run down here, do my Challenge Annika impression. Hold on. Here we go. What's difficult?
Making decisions.
Making really big decisions that are going to affect loads of people's lives. Anyone else want to say, while I'm down here, what's tricky about being king or queen? Anyone else got any thoughts on that one? Yeah? Shout it out. Everybody's always looking at you. That's really true. I've got no idea. Oh, yeah, I have got an idea what that feels like. Everybody's always looking at you. Being a king or a queen is a real challenge. And we talked about responsibility and about power as well. Now, one of the reasons God knew that having a king might not make things better for the people of Israel is that, I don't know if you've noticed, but our king here is human. Kings and queens tend to be human. Well, yes, of course they are, Helen. I can hear you sort of thinking. But that means that although they're very special and they're very important, underneath they face all the same challenges that we face. So when they hold all this power, can you feel that power that you're holding, Matty? And all that responsibility, can you feel the responsibility, Matty? Actually, they find that just as hard as we might. And it might be tempting to make sure all those people who would like to be king, well, you put those when in prison because you want to keep the power. It might be that instead of making the roads better, you decide to buy a Ferrari instead with your money. And that would be a very big temptation. And it might be tempting to force everybody to think the same way that you do, because that makes you feel better. The kings of Israel, there weren't queens, although there are today, the kings of Israel all faced these same temptations. And some did quite well. Matty, I think you would have done really, really well. And some of them really didn't do so well. And as we go through the summer, we'll hear more about those kings and queens. But did you know that kings and queens around the world today face the same questions? Can we move on to the next slide? Thank you. Face the same questions. I wonder if we can, in our minds, name some of these kings and queens. Do you know, we don't always call them kings and queens now. Sometimes we call them presidents or prime ministers or chancellors. So we've got President Hollande of France, David Cameron, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. She's got some big decisions to make at the moment. Anyone know who this one is in the corner? Tony Abbott, Prime Minister in Australia. He's also got some difficult decisions to make at the moment. Anyone in the bottom corner? Kim Jong-un from North Korea. He is making some interesting decisions. In the middle, Barack Obama, President of the United States for a little bit longer. It's an opportunity time for him to make some really critical decisions. And Vladimir Putin, President of Russia, in the corner. God knew that being a king or queen would be a tricky challenge. And he sent us a perfect king to help us to make our decisions. This king was a perfect example of what it meant to be a king for all the people. And do you know that when the Bible talks about a Messiah, it means somebody who will one day be king of all. Jesus is the best king of all. The one who served his people most faithfully and looked after them best of all. And rather than just sending his people into battle to give their lives for his freedom, he went into battle to give his life for our freedom. And so as we leave the kings and queens, well, kings of Israel, in our walk through the whole of the Bible, we turn our attention towards the kings and the queens of this age who have serious decisions to make that affect the whole world. And so we're going to return our attention to them now and to ourselves in prayer. Thank you, Phil. Oh, and thank you, Matty. Could we have a round of applause for King Matty? Thank you very much.